You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, every day, everywhere. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and I am joined today, once again, by my co-host, friend, and colleague, Jessica Hibbard. Hey, Jessica.
Hey, Bill.
How are you?
I'm great. Yet another interview from Chicago at Retail's Academic Symposium.
Yep, and I keep mentioning that we're just a block off of Michigan Avenue, where you can see retail is alive and doing very well.
I was walking back from dinner last night along Michigan Avenue, and people were out, stores were busy. It was very cool to see.
Well, the stores are what make it the Magnificent Mile.
Yep.
So today we have a very special guest. His name is Jerry O'Brien. He's the director of Kohl's Center for Retailing Excellence at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he is a National Retail Federation Foundation board member. Hello, Jerry.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Jessica. Happy to be here.
So, Jerry, you're at the University of Wisconsin, but you've had quite a career. Tell us about that. Where did you start? Where are you now?
Well, I started with Target 27 years out of college, my first 27 years as an adult. And I started like a lot of people do. I kind of fell into it. I was going to Drake University. I'd intended to go to law school. And as a senior, I was rather shocked to find out I couldn't afford law school. So so late in my undergrad career, I decided I needed a job. And I'm from Dubuque, Iowa. We didn't have Target. I didn't know what Target was at the time. My wife, or at the time my girlfriend, was from Minneapolis. She said, oh, they're a good place. You should go talk to them. And I was pretty desperate to get a job. I went. They were a small company at the time, regional more than a national company. Had some exciting growth plans. I had an enjoyable interview. And I thought, well, I'll do this and raise some money to go to law school. That'll be great. I got in. I got hooked. I had a blast. And I didn't look up for about 25 years.
And now?
And then about 10 years ago, almost exactly, I had the opportunity to move on to the university and start a center for retailing, which my first question upon the recruitment was, what's a center for retailing? They said it would be whatever you want, which was a really good hook for me. So I had an opportunity to go in and have an impact on not only what we taught, but how we told our story to students to try to change the conversation.
You know, that we've talked to several other retail leaders, and it's how you change that perception, especially among college students, that retail is a great career. And whether you're an accounting major or computer sciences or any number of other things, engineering, retail is a great place to land. How do you change that conversation? I mean, I think that at one point in time, you had to go in and probably twist arms. Now, is it that difficult?
It's changed dramatically. My first few years on campus, my primary job was to find people in other majors and try to get them interested. So they were on campus. We had to say, we've got some great opportunities. I've got some great partners. Come and see what this is all about. And that was effective. We got a lot of people involved in the program. What's been nice is it's transitioned to now we have an outstanding retail program, and we have freshmen coming in to the university because we have the program.
Oh, that's great.
So they're not finding the program after they get there, but they're coming because of the program, which is wonderful. But it wouldn't work without the partnership we have with a lot of great companies that are willing to send us expertise, to send some financial support, et cetera. But primarily, I get industry leaders to come and talk about their exciting careers. In my opinion, that's how you change the conversation.
Exactly. So some similar things to that have been happening here in Chicago, where, mm-hmm. as we mentioned at Retail's Academic Symposium, it's an NRF Foundation event for college and university faculty. And so I imagine you see an event like this from both sides. You've been a retailer. You are now on faculty at a university. But you've also been very involved in the foundation. So could you tell us a little bit about what's going on at this event and how you think college faculty are receiving the information that
and
they're
why
hearing.
It's important too.
Yeah, and of course, why it's important.
The event's important. It's a chance for us to change the conversation. One key we have to recognize is that the people in this room next door, the educators, have a great influence on what their students perceive as positive outcomes to their college career. So, last few years nationally, we've been talking about job readiness. How do you get out of college job ready? Which has put a lot of importance on what is faculty talking about? Where are they putting you? And by nature, universities gravitate to kind of where do they get their resources? Where are their students going? And it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we want to change the conversation, we've got to stick our finger in and make an adjustment pretty dramatically. So an event like this gets, you know, it gets a marketing professor to say, hey, when you're going to do a case study, certainly there's some great CPG companies out there, but there's some great retailers. We could tell the same story. If you're in finance, certainly we can do a story off of Wall Street. That's wonderful. But we could also do a story from a national retailer who probably has a bigger finance department than perhaps that Wall Street firm. If you're a tech company, recognizing that companies that are in there speaking right now, like Target and Kohl's and Macy's and Home Depot, they are giant tech companies. But without changing or reformatting how that's discussed, if you're a tech person, you think you need to go to Silicon Valley and work for Google and et cetera. Not that those are bad things, but you should be looking up and recognizing the advancements that are going on at the sites at these major retailers.
You know, you've been doing this for 10 years. I would think that the conversation that you had 10 years ago versus the conversation that you're having today is dramatically different. How is it different?
First off, it's I chuckle at the job descriptions that didn't exist.
Oh, yeah. True for any industry, but retail definitely sees that.
I have a few friends that have titles like Chief Digital Officer. There were no chief digital officers when I worked at Target. So it's fascinating, but actually in some ways that helps. The change in conversation allows it to stay fresh. You see some new technology come out, a new way of perhaps connecting with consumers. As the companies get more focused on knowing you individually, it's opened up such a realm that allows me to talk to new students. I didn't used to try to find analytical students. You know, I needed them to do the math that a buyer would need to do. But advanced analytics that we use in consumer research right now wasn't on my radar until my retail friend said, we need these. Get going on that.
Right. How many other universities have a program like this?
In varying degrees, there's a lot.
Oh, really?
But of the major universities, having a program that actually includes a retail degree, that's pretty rare. So we actually have a Bachelor of Science in Retailing Consumer Behavior.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, and there aren't a lot of those. Having said that, I have a lot of peer institutions that perhaps in their marketing department will have an emphasis. Often it grows out of the design department. But so you have to kind of dig in and see what you want to do to figure it out. There's parts of the country where the retail degree is a little more focused on food science.
In
other parts of the country, it might be focused on carpet manufacturing. So as I tried to find some benchmarks when I got our program started, the variety, which mimics the industry, is almost endless.
It is.
Yeah, NRF has a membership that's especially for university members, and it's always interesting to see the different schools and the different departments that join through that membership. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's a business school, sometimes it's like a more of like a fashion design and merchandising focus. So that's kind of cool to see the variety out there.
It's fascinating. 10 years ago when I joined the university and decided that we should use the NRF as a resource, we were one of six universities that the NRF talked to. And quite frankly, they didn't know what to do with us. So it's evolved quite a bit right now.
Well, you've paved the way. Thank you for doing that.
Yes, thank you, Jared. Well, you know, the students themselves, they've changed a lot. I have the opportunity probably about once a year to go back to my alma mater. And so we're going way back in time.
What's your alma mater, Bill? I know you want to mention it.
No, that great, the Harvard of the South, the University of Georgia. So when I go back and through the years, it's just a different feel and a vibe. And you talk mm-hmm. to the students and it is a different desire and different view of the future. How do you adapt to that? And what is that vibe these days? I mean, the millennials are there in full force. So what is that like?
It certainly is different than when you and I went to school. So having said that, there's different expectations. They've grown up with different experiences. So one thing I think that we occasionally overlook is, it's funny, when I grew up, you knew the children of the Depression. You remember, we all talked, and I'm old enough, you know, my grandmother would make sure, boy, you better not leave a quarter teaspoon of toothpaste in that tube or whatever.
It would be my father.
And we recognize that they came from life experiences. Well, the economic meltdown in 07, 08 had that dramatic of an impact. While I think these changes were happening incrementally before that, that was a off-the-cliff moment, where the students looked up and said, I need to build career for me. not so much look for a career for someone to take care of me. So the days of working at General Motors for 60 years and getting your pension, 60 is probably an exaggeration, but for a long time. Now, I advise students, you need transferable skills. We need to make you hireable across a variety of institutions, a variety of companies. You want a job that allows you to be independent and self-secure. So that's changed a lot. What I love is, in spite of perhaps some of the things that they've grown up, the confidence and the optimism that I get to work with every day, and there's nothing better than working on the university with all these students who are so excited about the future. That optimism is also changing the industry. So, you know, I started the last semester of the last academic year. I always have a class where I start with, so why are you here? And they say, you know, you keep saying this is a good industry, but the newspaper shows stores closing. And I laugh. So what you're seeing is an industry that needs your talents more than anything in the world.
Yep.
You need to come out and help us right the ship, get on to the new future. So, and understand that this isn't really a dying industry. It's an evolving industry, but we need new talents to take it to the new level.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I look back and I think I have I set up a scholarship at the University of Georgia. It's a leadership scholarship for students. And at the end of the year, they do a presentation and I get to sit and they present to a group of us. And that optimism, you always walk away and you're kind of chuckling a little bit because you're like, oh, yeah, right, change the world. This is, you know, just you wait. But then at the same time, it's just so refreshing because they're not burdened by, you know, skepticism. They're really excited about all of the opportunities that lie ahead. And you always want to kind of foster that and to promote it and to encourage it. But I've seen over a period of time that it doesn't take much fostering or encouraging. They're already encouraged. They already believe that they are going to make a difference, and that's very exciting.
I was laughing to myself at the student program at Retail's Big Show the last time because I was in the room before they opened it up to the students. And when the doors opened, literally hundreds of college students were running in the room to get to the front seats
I know,
tables.
That's the thing that always kills me.
And I said to a couple of my NRF colleagues, I said, I want to recapture that enthusiasm for life, that like excitement for like learning and for like being passionate about an industry. I thought it was really wonderful. So, and a great like visual of just how excited they are about retail.
You know, the student program, Jerry, I mean, that has evolved in a huge way in a very, very short period of time. Why is it important, and why is it so exciting, and why is it growing at such an exponential rate?
Well, partly, I think, economically, or the state of the economy, our students are looking to say, what's out there? And we've started this podcast talking about the fact that we need to change the story. I think it's a symbol that we've made some progress, that people are at least willing to say, well, let's go hear what they have to say. Also, when we look at some of our industry leaders, they're actually, you know, icons in our economy.
Right.
When you talk, you can't dismiss some of the opportunities these students get to go see someone who is running a $25 billion company. Well, that's something worth talking about across industries, which is how I like to frame the conversation. This is a giant industry that affects, as I believe your opening was, everyone, every day, everywhere. When we get that story out there, and then we give them a chance to explore, well, how will I fit in? So I do that on a much smaller scale at the university. I bring speakers in every single week, industry leaders who often will put a light on a part of the prism that the students hadn't heard. I remember the first time I brought a sourcing vice president in, and the students, you could hear a pin drop in the room. Mm-hmm. This person travels the world looking for factories, looking for materials, looking for quality, and they thought, that's a great job. I didn't know anybody did that job. So I think the Big Show has expanded because it's like anything, and with social media, it's grown organically. Universities talk to other universities. Where are students getting hired? There is, I think, more appropriate measurement of universities and how well they're qualifying their students to get out and get jobs. And here's an industry that has a lot of jobs, which is going to help it continue to get attention.
You know, I have to tell you, I was at the Big Show when Jeff Bezos was there. And he was standing talking to a bunch of our board members towards the front by the stage. And one of the student program folks came, this kid kind of was standing back. And I was like, what is that kid doing? And he kind of just worms his way in, and he gets to Bezos, he hands him his card, and he said, I graduate next year. You'll be hearing from me. I thought that was absolutely fantastic.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I love the story about the sourcing executive talking to your class. What other roles or topics or brands do the students really get excited about that maybe you didn't realize they'd be interested in?
Well, I think they should be interested in everything. But, yeah, obviously, in the last few years, a lot more talk about, you know, what's going on in their advertising and their marketing analytics, and certainly in the tech world. You know, it's very exciting. One of the fun things about the NRF, the big show, is when they go into the actual the floor and see, you know, robots waiting on people. And the advancement in technology is exciting. Now, most of my students are probably not the right ones for that. We have tech students on campus, but that's not it. But I think when I see them get excited is when they realize what a puzzle it is and where they might fit different. So a lot of companies right now are in the process of combining their digital and their physical buying departments. For some reason, they evolved rather separately, and now they're coming back together. That's a story we're hearing regularly in class, and I can see the students seeing how much sense that makes. Well, of course, it's one shopper. Why was it ever separate?
Because they're digital natives. They grew up that way.
Precisely. Yeah. So I think that as the industry adjusts, they see themselves fitting more easily. Let's have these conversations. What I love is we're attracting even more journalism students into the program because they look up and say, well, this is storytelling.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we want to do quite a bit of it. So I think while there's a huge emphasis on digital and technical, and I don't want to diminish that, I'm really happy when our speakers come in and point out that in the end, it's us talking to customers. And how do we do that? The digital, the components, the analytics are tools for us to tell a compelling story.
And to provide a better experience.
Mm-hmm. And I would say that's the other exciting, when people come in and show what stores are beginning to evolve to. The case study was Story last year, excited a lot of students in my program. So when they can see that their imagination has a place in the industry, that's always exciting.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. I read an article not too long ago that Silicon Valley is really ramping up the hiring of liberal arts majors. And the reason for that is because the techies are focused on the tech, but how to take that technical experience and make it relatable to a larger audience or to the public, they kind of hand it over to the liberal arts guys and say, make this work for
us. Make this human.
Exactly.
We work a lot with design thinking on campus, and actually my school happens to be one of the hubs of it, on where we have engineers working with my students and everywhere. And I think the fascinating part of that is just that, just because you can do it doesn't mean we should. Tell me why you want to do it, and then we'll help you make it relatable. And when you get these cross disciplines working together, we get so much more clarity in what's coming out.
Yeah, solving a real problem instead of just making crazy technology because you want to.
You know, Jerry, I could sit here and talk about this for a long time because I get really enthused at the thought of what we're doing with the students and changing the perception of the industry and bringing all of this enthusiasm and knowledge and future to our industry. But we are running short on time. So if they wanted to, and our listeners wanted to learn more about the Cole Center for Retailing Excellence at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where would they go?
If they go to the University of Wisconsin online and put Cole Center for Retailing, then we'll pop right up. We can give them a lot more information. We'd love to hear from them.
That's great. So we always end our program with a segment that we call Rapid Fire. So we're going to ask you a few questions. And what we want you to do is answer with the first thing that comes to mind. Don't have a lot of time to think about it. That's why it's called rapid.
So stressed.
Let's go.
It's fun, we promise.
Let's go. All right. What is the last thing you bought online?
Quick, actually a golf towel.
Oh, okay. Football or basketball?
Basketball.
I say Bucky, you say?
Winner.
Very good.
Accounting or American Lit?
American Lit.
Well, I will tell you, that was absolutely fantastic. And as I said, it's very fun to talk about the future of retail. And Jerry, nobody more fun to talk about it with than you. So thank you for being here with us.
Thank you both. I'm kind of a geek on the subjects. It's fun.
So are we.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're a geek, we're big geeks. And thank you all out there for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We'll post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. And subscribe to the show and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Google Play and Stitcher. Jessica, thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Really enjoyed it. And Jerry, thank you.
Happy to be here.
We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.